Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your glorious resurrection. Thank you for raising Jesus from the dead so that we can have life. We can have victory over death and victory over evil. We thank you for the songs that we have sung, for the praises that have been raised, Lord. We thank you that your Spirit is with us today in our midst. Be with us now as we look at your word. May you open your word. May you open our hearts. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. May you add to my words what you want, Lord. Take away what is not of you this morning, Lord. And we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's Easter, as you probably know. It's a good time as any to start with a confession of a bad habit that I have. I have a very bad habit. If somebody tells me something that's coming up in the future, I have a tendency to forget about it. Right? I was just like, I forgot that's happening. So let me give you a completely made-up hypothetical example. Let's say my wife were to come to me and say, hey, I got a meeting next Thursday at 7 p.m. And we'll talk about it. And we'll go, great, next Thursday, 7 p.m., no problem. We'll figure it out. So next Thursday rolls around about 6:45 p.m., and she's walking out the door. And what am I doing? Wait a minute. Wait, where are you going? What? She goes, well, I have a meeting at 7. You know, it's on our shared calendar, on our phones, and there's a note on the fridge, and we talked about it at length. You remember that? And at that point, you just got to say, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, have fun, right? You just got to buy into it at that point, right? I'm glad none of you have that problem. It's just me. So it's me that has that problem. You know, sometimes in your life, you're told something, and you forget it. It's going to come up in the future and you've forgotten about it completely. It could be because it's so far in the future that you're like, okay, when it comes up, I'll remember it. But for now, it's just way out there. I'm not going to worry about it. Maybe it's something that you don't think really affects you. You're like, well, it doesn't bother me. It's not going to affect what I'm doing. So I'll just store it here in the back of my mind and I won't worry about it. Or maybe it's something that seems so outlandish, so crazy, so never been done before, that you're like, I don't even have to worry about this because there's no way this could possibly happen. There's no way that's what that person is talking about. And our passage for today is caught in between that moment of forgetting and remembering. Jesus has been living among his disciples and been telling them three things, a prediction, a prophecy, that he's going to be arrested, he's going to be killed, and 3 days later, he will be raised from the dead. Arrested? Yeah, we can believe that about Jesus. From the moment he started preaching and teaching, people wanted to arrest him. Killed? Yeah, we can believe that too. There were mobs of people constantly coming after Jesus. But raised from the dead? No, that hasn't happened before. That's never happened before. Let's just file that back here for later, because that can't possibly be what he's talking about. But it is. It's exactly what he's talking about. And these women who go to the tomb, they'd filed it back here and said, no, we're not talking about actually being raised from the dead. Actually, are we? But he is. Every single word that Jesus says comes true, including the part where he is raised from death into life. And because his words are true, that changes everything this morning. Let's take a look. Join with me, please, in your Bibles, the blue Bibles in front of you, or in Luke chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 1. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 says this, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? If you were here with us just a couple days ago on Good Friday, Jesus was killed on Friday. He was buried in a tomb that might have looked something like this. That little black square rectangle in the middle is the entranceway to a tomb. This is in Jerusalem, the Garden Tomb. Many people think this is the actual tomb that he was buried in. As you can see, if you get closer, there's a little ridge there where there's a big stone that could be rolled back and forth along the ridge to keep the door shut. And when you walk in, there it is, the empty tomb, just like it was on that day. Empty, nothing in there. But there's the tomb. And he was buried in that tomb, maybe this very tomb, on Friday. Saturday is a day of holy rest, the Sabbath, for the Jewish people. So nobody goes to the tomb on Saturday. But early morning, as the Sabbath breaks at dawn, at the sunrise, the women head to the tomb to finish the preparations for the burial of Jesus. To be clear, Jesus is dead. They're not taking spices to Jesus and saying, well, maybe hopefully he's still alive, but if not, in case, we'll just bring some spices. No, they saw what happened to him. They saw him die. They saw him crucified on the cross. They're going to the tomb to prepare their leader for the afterlife. But when they get there, this is what they see, minus the bars that have been put up, of course. But this is what they see, an empty tomb. You're seeing the same thing that they saw on that day. Nothing. There was nothing in the tomb. And there's a lot of space in between verses 3 and 4. And what do I mean by that? In verse 3, they did not see the body. And in verse 4, these men who are angels in clothes show up. And so they were probably asking themselves the question, what happened? What happened? On Friday, we were really grieving. Maybe we ended up in the wrong tomb. Maybe this isn't the correct tomb, because we know the dead don't just rise up and leave. Or maybe they said, hey, Jesus was despised, he was hated. Maybe somebody took his body, because we know the dead don't just rise up and leave. Who knows what else they asked themselves in the spaces between verses 3 and 4. But apparently they did not ask the one question they should have asked. Did the dead just rise up and leave? Is he risen just as he said he would be? And the answer is yes, he is risen. He is risen from the dead. And the angels appear and they ask the obvious question, why are you looking for someone who is alive in a place of death? He is alive. He's not going to be in that tomb. Why are you looking for him here? Let's keep going. Verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. Then they remembered his words. He is risen. He is not among the dead. He is living and alive just as you women are standing in this tomb. He is just as alive as you are. And remember how he told you he was going to do this. Remember how he told you. The declaration of those five words are some of the most important in this passage in Luke. Remember how he told you. Because when the angels say that, with that declaration, they're declaring that Jesus was not stolen from a tomb. That declaration tells us Jesus was not misplaced in another tomb. That declaration tells us that Jesus was not just very, very tired on that day and went and took a really long nap in the tomb and woke up on Sunday. No, there were no accidents, no mistakes, no mess-ups, no accidental burials. Remember how he told you that God had a plan from the very beginning. And his plan is to save his people. And God's plan comes true because no person and no thing can stop the plan of God. Remember how he told you that God has a plan. And this is the plan, that Jesus, the Son of God, would come to earth, would live a perfect, sinless life. But he would be delivered over like a criminal and placed between criminals on the cross, dying the death of a sinner. But 3 days later, God would raise him from the dead. And when he raised Jesus, there would be victory over death. There is victory over Satan. There is victory over sin. And there is victory for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. The thing that the world wanted to use for evil, the cross, God took it and turned it into something good, something great, something beautiful. Remember how he told you God had a plan from the very beginning. And it jogs that thing in the women's mind, and they say, oh, yeah, that's right. Let's go tell somebody. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Women are here like, yeah, it's like that sometimes, right? Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Of course, it seemed like nonsense. No one had ever been risen from the dead before, especially not after a crucifixion like that. Not after the beating he took, the lashes he took, the pain he suffered on the cross. Of course, it seemed like nonsense because he was really dead, and now he is really alive. Thankfully, God is not terribly interested in what has never happened before. He's more interested in what is going to happen by his word and by his hand. And by his word, Jesus is raised from the dead on the third day. So while we're remembering these words, let's remember some other words that Jesus said. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Remember how he told you that he has come for you today, to seek you out today. You know, there's a million different places you could have been today, but you chose to come here. It's no coincidence that you're here. God has a plan for you to be here. And his plan is for you to hear about Jesus, how he came to seek and save the lost. And so maybe you're here and you're like, I don't feel lost. I know where I am, right? I'm in this church. I just had a nice breakfast. I know exactly where I'm at. But being lost has more to do than just your physical location. See, maybe today you feel lost because you're in the midst of a broken relationship in your life. Someone has hurt you, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, and you come here lost, not knowing where to turn to for comfort. Remember how he told you that he has come for you. Maybe today you feel lost in the midst of a difficult physical battle. Maybe it's a difficult diagnosis that you've received. You're hurting. You're desperate for relief. Remember how he told you he has come for you today. Maybe you feel far from God. Maybe this is the first time in 5, 10, 20, 30 years that you've stepped into church. And you feel like God has never been further from you. But remember how he told you. He has come for you today. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And because of God's incredible love for his people, he sent Jesus, his only son, to earth to show us how to live an abundant life, a satisfying life, a life that is better than you could ever dream of. And he is calling you today to come to know him. Scripture tells us each one of us have sinned before God, and because we have sinned, the consequences of sin is death, an eternal separation from God. So if we don't know Jesus, that's a scary thought. However, if we believe what the Scriptures say, what the Bible says, this life is not the end for us. We have a life to come in Jesus Christ. One of the followers of Jesus, a man named Paul, he writes in one of the books of the Bible about this good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. And when he was raised from death into life, he had victory. He wears the victor's crown. Death no longer has the final say in our life. And because death no longer has the final say, we can live this life with joy, knowing there's a glory to come in Christ Jesus. If we confess our sins to Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and we will be welcomed into a relationship with God. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about a relationship with God. Unlike past relationships you may have had, broken, bad relationships, where someone squishes you down because of the baggage you bring, this relationship is different. God already knows the baggage you're bringing into this relationship, and he loves you through it anyway. And he calls you to himself. The good news of Jesus on the cross is the good news of God's love for his people. How he came through Jesus to restore a broken relationship, one that we broke on our own. Remember how he told you, he has come for you today. If you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to pray, to confess your sins, to turn to God, and to follow him. He can radically change your life in this life and give you everlasting life for the next. If you've never done that, if you've never prayed, all you do is you confess that Jesus is your Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead, and you will be welcomed into fellowship with God our Father. You will be called a child of God. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have eternity with God himself. If you've never prayed, but you want to pray that prayer, I'm going to pray a prayer of asking for forgiveness right now. And if this is you, you can just repeat after me. The prayer goes like this. Let's pray. Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me. I declare today that you are Lord of this world and Lord over my life. I believe that you were raised from the dead and have victory over death. I want to be called a child of God today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, praise God. Today is the day that God has met you through Jesus and restored you back to relationship with him. Scripture calls you a child of God, a son and daughter of the Most High. And we rejoice with you today. If you prayed that prayer and you're like, well, what's next? What do I do? How do I know more about Jesus? There's these little prayer cards in front of you, those yellow cards. Put your name or your email on there and your phone number. I'd love to call you this week and talk to you more about what it means to follow Jesus. Remember how he told you that he would be raised again. And he is. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for sending Jesus as the perfect Holy One to live among us, to show us abundant life. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, for taking our place for our sins. And thank you, Father, for raising Jesus from the dead so that death would not have the final say over him and over our lives. We praise you, Jesus, the Holy One, the Lamb of God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning. Fill our church with your Holy Spirit as we seek your face in humble praise. Grant us the joy that comes as people saved by the blood through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.